No, but it was kind of like saying, like, hey, look at this awesome picture I took, and, you know, it's my wife's fault that I can't take a picture this good.
Oh, no, no, no. What I was saying is taking those sunset silhouettes is so 4 years ago.
Ah, sorry.
Hello and welcome to episode 21 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan. I'm sitting here in Tübingen, Germany, and I've got with me Adam.
Who is in Vancouver, British Columbia.
I've heard of it.
Yep. It's in Canada.
It's in Canada. What's going on in Vancouver, British Columbia right about now?
Well, we're eagerly awaiting the start of the 2011 Stanley Cup Finals, where the Canucks, the Vancouver Canucks, are in the finals for the first time in 17 years. And hopefully they will be victorious, which would be the first time in 40 years. So everybody is pretty jacked up in Vancouver. It starts on Wednesday.
I put everyone to the question. I say it's real simple. Canucks in five or Canucks in six?
Yeah, I'm thinking six.
Yeah, I hope so. I seven's too much stress. Yeah. And six is just enough tension to enjoy the game.
Although it would be nice if it was five or seven, because that way they would be hoisting the cup on home ice. Because game six would be, of course, in Boston.
Which you can't afford to go to anyway.
Well, I can't afford to go to anything, so.
Yeah.
I have a hard time affording to go watching it outside on one of the big screens that they're going to put up downtown.
Does that cost money?
No, it doesn't. But just you got to get down there and fight the crowds.
You got to start spending all that podcast money.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the royalty checks to come rolling
it's
in.
It's all tied up in euros at this point. Anyway, yeah, what's the 6 week break between series?
I don't know. I think it's really just, you know, peaking interest. No, I think it has to do with NBC's broadcast schedule and probably venue bookings as well. And the NBA Finals is messing up.
Yeah, right. Well, that was a rhetorical question, actually. Yeah.
No.
I think our listeners in Denmark don't really care.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know.
So what did you shoot this week?
I shot beach pictures. I shot, we had a date night, which is a rare occurrence, where my parents were in town, so they looked after the kids, and my wife Lisa and I went with another couple down to Kitsilano Beach. You know Kitsilano Beach.
I used to live down there.
Right, kind of where the city meets the sea down in Vancouver. So we went, or city meets the ocean, I guess it's not technically a sea, but a beautiful spot. That people go to hang out or take a stroll. So we went for dinner with another couple, and then we decided to go for a beach stroll, and I just took pictures kind of as we went.
Nice.
Yeah.
Saw the pictures, actually. You know, Lynn and I had a good laugh over it because of you guys are all wearing jackets and scarves and stuff.
It's a little warmer there, I guess.
It's unbelievably warmer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't had the warmest of temperatures down here.
That's what we hear. Yeah,
still a nice night though, and we had a really nice sunset, and so it was good for pictures, even though it wasn't scorching hot.
Right. Yeah, it's a great spot down there. I really like it down, and you used to live down there, right?
Yeah, we lived about two blocks from the beach, so it was kind of we haven't been down there in a while, so it was kind of fun to go back to the old stomping grounds.
Yeah, you bet. Nice.
So that's it. I didn't take a whole lot of. We did go to the beach with my parents and the kids on Sunday, and I took a few pictures, but I was pretty selective. I didn't take too many, so most of the picture taking was on date night. Super awesome date night when you're carrying your camera around following your dates.
Your dates. Well, you should explain dates.
Well, there's
plural.
There's two couples, so
yeah. You didn't say double date. It just sounded awesome.
Yeah, no, it was double date, sorry to clarify.
Sound like you were Hefner at one point.
Maybe that's the way it went down in my head.
Yeah. Well, that's you're that guy. You're the Walk. No, I meant the guy with the camera. You're walking around the dates, you know, following your dates with the camera.
Yeah.
Good deal for them, though.
Absolutely.
You know, I saw the pics, so.
And I think, you know, their kids were also being looked after by one of their parents. So, you know, not only did they get a date night, but they got a photographer sort of following them around, like this was like the paparazzi for them.
Good day.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, I shot a wedding this week.
Video?
No wedding photos. Friends of ours got married, but it's a two-parter.
Okay.
And so it's they do it differently here. So you have to get married in the city hall. And long story short, they couldn't do it all on the same day. So they had part one of the wedding. So I shot a bunch of that, like in the civil ceremony and then the ensuing things afterwards. But the big challenge was the weather was actually pretty good for it. It was a little overcast, and so the light was nice and even. But what I didn't do, and all the shots worked out great, but I found that I wasn't trusting my judgment as much as my instincts as much as I should have. So
give me an example.
Well, I'd be fiddling around with like the exposure compensation, thinking, oh my God, like I'd do a quick check on the LCD screen to see, you know, if I'm in the ballpark for exposure, and I know I'm in the ballpark. I know what the exposure should be, right. And then I take the picture and I have a quick look, and I'm like, oh no, man, that is way underexposed. So I'll retake the picture, you know, on a plus 2/3,
right,
and make it look good on the LCD screen. And I get home, and the first one was perfect. Well, not perfect. I don't want to pump my own tires, but the first one was fine, and the other one was blown out.
So what happened there?
I just did not trust my instincts, and I guess. The contrast on your screen in certain conditions does not match reality.
Right.
So if you think you're doing it right, you're probably doing it right.
Right. Unless it's completely way off on the LCD screen, in which case your instincts were terrible.
Yep. I oftentimes then quickly zip over and check the histogram to make sure all the data is in the right place, because I know what that's supposed to kind of look like, and then I do that, but sometimes it just, you know, you take the safety shot just to back yourself up. But just trust your instinct. That's all I'm saying to you.
Okay. Hista what?
we'll get to there. We'll get there. But the cool part is that now, I mean, you've heard of technology, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome nowadays. So my wife and I set up our gift on that day was going to be a picture of their wedding. And so we took a nice picture of them on the balcony at City Hall, in like the old marketplace, is where they got married.
Right.
And right across the marketplace is a photo, like a photo store.
Okay.
And so we set it up, so we snapped one picture, and then basically just walked across the photo place, got it printed, put it in a frame, and gave it to them like right away.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. It's a good move, I think.
Yeah. It's a really hot move, except for when I forget to switch the camera over to JPEG, because I've been shooting RAW the whole time.
Right.
And I had switched it over to JPEG as well, except I didn't set it correctly, because people were asking me a bunch of questions. Also, because it's my fault, but I like to blame others, you see.
Right.
Anyways, so I went in there, and the guys could not be more helpful. They actually let me use their computer upstairs.
Nice. To edit it back to something good.
Yeah, because they can't read RAW.
Right, okay. Like,
the machines typically read JPEG. And so I was expecting to be just disappointed, but the guy said, no, come upstairs, and went into the back room, and he just basically pointed at the PC and said, you know, go ahead. Like, he didn't know what to do, and neither did I, because as we've all established before, I haven't used a PC in a long, long time. And same with never used Lightroom on a PC before.
Does this story have an end?
Yes. It ends with a motorcycle trip. No,
I'm assuming you got a good picture.
Yeah, it ends well.
Okay.
All I was saying is that somebody in Germany was very, very helpful.
Awesome.
First time ever.
That's good. No, yeah. That's good. I'm glad.
So, did I send you the link? We're changing subjects now. Did I send you the link?
I thought you were going to send me the link to the rest of your story.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm cutting that out. That was too funny. I'm cutting that out.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Awesome.
The link to what?
All right. You got any more pictures of your kids?
What was the link to?
The panorama shot on the like the film.
Oh, thing? I saw your thing, and I no, I didn't actually look at it yet. I did see there was a link, but I didn't get around to it.
No.
You just sent that today, right?
No. Like 4 days ago. Way to be prepared.
That's how behind I am on email.
Hey, are you a Boy Scout? Always be prepared.
Okay, next time.
Baden Powell, so disappointed with you.
So did you get like used a photo stitch program or something?
No, it's actually the coolest thing ever. It's a little toy camera that he has. It's Chris Marquardt from Tips from the Top Floor.
Right.
You may have heard of it.
I've heard of it.
He was over the other day, and he got it for Christmas. It's actually a little toy camera for like $100 or something like that. But it's a really cool thing. It's like I can't even describe how it's mounted. Like it's a little round. It's called a spinner camera.
Okay.
And you basically hold it in front of you, pull the cord, and when you release, it takes the picture. And it's really quick, like you know, a second or less than a second. Except what it does is it actually spins around 400 degrees. If you can imagine that.
Okay. Yeah.
So while it spins around and shoots everything around you, it also moves the film through. So the camera moves and the film moves through so that it exposes across a giant strip.
Neat.
And yeah, it's actually really, really cool. So I'll post a link to it on the site if anybody wants to check it out.
Okay. And so, I already have the link.
You have the link and haven't checked it out. So yeah. Far, so good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyways. So, photo challenge.
Yes.
This week's photo challenge.
I'm excited.
Well, I'm excited too because we haven't discussed this really.
No.
Our results,
you're supposed to get, well, you're supposed to give me like tips, which you never gave me.
No, I didn't.
No, you said on the last episode, you said you were going to give me some off mic tips. On how to go about this, because I have zero experience in shooting.
Did we just say what the topic was?
I think we did. We said what the challenge was going to be. We said we're going to
silhouette.
Shoot a silhouette.
Silhouette was the challenge. Turns out you didn't need tips though.
I know, I'm pretty good.
Did you hear what my voice did right there? Turns out you didn't need.
You went back in time to what, grade 7?
As if Owen Wilson was in grade 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, silhouette. So, who wants to go first, you/me?
I'll go first.
You took yours first.
Okay, yeah.
Took this on date night.
Yeah.
This is, tell me a bit about it before I rip it to shreds.
Okay, I took this this was of one of the other fellow who was on date night as part of our double date. So this was a friend of ours, and we were down at Kitts Beach in Vancouver, and I suggested trying to jump off of a large rock so that I could get a midair shot for our silhouette. So this is a buddy jumping off a rock and doing, you know, quite a nice pose midair. I kind of likened it to, a swan.
Yeah.
a flying swan. I don't think he has any technical training in fine arts or in ballet, but it certainly appears as though he might.
Well, he's Japanese, though.
Yep.
I assume he knows kung fu.
I don't know. We did try to take the Karate Kid pose on the rock as well.
Yeah,
it wasn't anything as good as this because you couldn't see as much detail because of the rock blending in. So I wanted to get separation between the rocks and nice. The rest of his body. So yeah, so that's what I did. And as far as the details go, I don't know if you want those yet. Do you want me to give you kind of the,
Fire away. The
parameters there? So I shot this in AV mode, and the exposure time was 1/320th of a second. And this was on my 1.8 50mm prime lens. And is there anything else? Oh, the ISO was at 200. Okay. So I was kind of lining it up for, again, I sort of exposed for what I wanted the sunset to be. So I did a little bit of fiddling around to get sort of my ideal exposure for the sunset. And I think what I did is I focused on the background, the mountains and the sun. I actually think I focused on the sunset itself just above the mountains. And I did a little bit of fiddling around, and I think I'm trying to see what my f-stop was, and that would be helpful. I don't see what it is.
Okay.
Oh, it's a 9. I shot this at a 9. And I think the reason I ended up with a 9 is, again, just to really make sure that my subject was blacked out. So I went and then also I didn't have to worry about sort of any blurring between the foreground and the background.
You shot this in AV mode?
Yes.
Okay. So when you went to make your exposure, how did you do that? Like how did you tell the camera to expose for the background and not for your subject?
I focused on the background.
Okay.
Is that,
there you go.
Is that how you, I just didn't find that there was anywhere else in AV mode to do it.
Nope. That's exactly right. Now, so what you did was essentially take your reading off the background.
Right.
Hold the shutter halfway down.
Yeah.
And then had your subject jump up in the air.
Right.
And then complete the image. Okay. So it's kind of like a focus recompose method, except with exposure as well.
Right.
Okay.
And I did use the back button focus, so I didn't have to hold it halfway down.
In this case, it wouldn't have mattered because you're going to focus on the background anyway.
Right.
Yeah. In this situation, and now at F9 with a silhouette, it doesn't matter. This is perfect. I wouldn't do it any other way. If you're going to focus on your subject, then you absolutely, positively need to use back button focus.
Okay.
Because you would focus on your subject, then turn and use the sky for the exposure, and then take the shot.
Right. And I think I fiddled around with that, but again, I didn't want to have this fellow jump off the rock 600 times. So I think every time I tried to focus on him, then he ended up being too lit, right? Because I couldn't separate the exposure. Yep. I didn't really know what I was doing there. So when I reversed it and focused on the background, it seemed to work fine. So I didn't question it. I just went with it.
Yep. Yep. Ultimately, when you expose and did you underexpose the background at all?
Yeah, I did by 2/3 of a stop.
Right. And that's what gives you those kind of dark or nice saturated colors in the sky. And so done with AV mode. That's fantastic.
Okay, so how did you do yours?
Let's talk about yours a little bit first.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I think it's fantastic. As I mentioned, I didn't mention, but at Kitts Beach is one of the most beautiful places around. I love Kitts Beach.
Me too.
I love the sunset at Kitts Beach. If anyone's going to Vancouver, check out the sunset at Kitts Beach. So,
Kitts is short for Kitsilano. I don't know if I said that, but yeah.
I didn't either.
Yeah, it's Kitsilano.
Kitsilano. Good point. Good tip. So I highly recommend checking that out. Now, it's difficult to make a bad picture at Kitts Beach. I'm serious.
Are you saying the dice were loaded for me? Is that what you're saying?
I'll be nice to you in a sec, so just sit tight.
Okay.
Put your seatbelt on. We'll be fine.
Okay.
No, I think you'd have to admit that it's actually difficult to make a really bad. You can make a decent picture, but to make a really bad picture, good luck. It's a great place to be.
Yeah.
So the tendency could be for you to phone it in and just do a simple silhouette picture, which, don't take this the wrong way, I was kind of expecting a basically a standard silhouette picture from you. down in Steveston, not necessarily at Kitts Beach, but
right.
You know, and that would have been fine. Now this one, I feel like you took it to a whole other level. You created something really great and dynamic, and having him jump up and put his hands up like that, and it just look at the rule of thirds, all that stuff we've already talked about, incorporated everything in there. So you took
that's how I roll, buddy.
You took a mundane situation and then kicked the crap out of it. That sounded like not like a compliment at all.
No, it sounded like a compliment to me.
And no, that's what it is. It should be. So I'm just telling you, I'm duly impressed that you took it up a notch. So
and I will give credit to my subject, because I think we only shot two of these, and this is and one was Rick, and one was his wife Michelle, and on Michelle's hers was pretty good too. But her arm was slightly out of frame. So, yeah. But again, it looked real good. But and this was the only one with Rick. And I don't think I gave him too much instruction other than make it look good. And this was him. This was not exactly by design. This was just he jumped up and that's what happened.
Nice.
Yeah. So I can't take all the credit. And like I said,
well, I saw yours before I shot mine. Because I've shot many of these over the years, and that's kind of what inspired it. Because people like these photos. These are very popular photos to have of yourself, and you know, usually when you're on vacation in Hawaii or something like that. So I have shot many of these, but I was gearing up to shoot mine.
Okay.
And I saw yours, and I thought, uh-oh, what am I going to do? Because I don't live by the ocean.
Right.
So, but I think, well, let's have a quick look at mine.
Okay.
This one's called Late for the Train. I titled mine this week.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right, let's move on.
I have it in front of you. You have it's cropped in a very sort of panoramic style.
Yes.
And that was in an effort to make it look better.
Well, I had this in mind. I before I left the house, I had this shot, the framing of the shot in mind.
Okay, all right. Tell us about it and how you made it.
Well, I knew I would sort of be, I don't want to say hampered. That's a terrible word. I knew I would sort of have to use the strengths around me. I couldn't go, you know, shoot the same picture as you. Could never compete with that here in Germany.
Right.
And so I decided, okay, I'm going to do something a little bit different. Rather than shoot late at night with the sunset going down, I'm going to shoot right in the middle of the day. And how can we shoot that silhouette?
Okay.
And so I knew of this sort of this location not too far from me, with this big graffiti wall with an undercover area right near it. And so I knew that would provide me with the right kind of light.
Okay, yeah.
And I knew in my head it would have to be like kind of a wide panorama. Like I just envisioned the shot that way, and that's the way I ended up cropping it. So that was pre-cropped in my head.
Okay.
And then the rest was, well, what do you want to know?
Well, I want to know how you made that. So what was that shot at?
I shot that in manual exposure.
Okay.
Because that's actually me in the picture.
Oh, okay.
So I had to do it with a timer. And then, so if that was shot at manual, if I remember correctly, it was like the aperture was fairly wide open. It was probably like a 5.6, and the shutter speed is like 1/2000th of a second at ISO 100.
Right.
And essentially, I exposed for the background.
Right.
Knowing that that the foreground would go out of focus, go to black.
Right.
So basically underexposed the background by about minus 2/3 of a stop using manual. And then went and hit the timer, except for when it came time to run across the frame. Let me backtrack a little bit. That's the shot you're looking at isn't made of that exposure that I just described.
Okay.
That's where I started.
Okay.
I started making that exposure. And I would run into the shot and just sort of stand there. But it didn't translate. It wasn't becoming – it didn't look right. So decided that I needed to have movement in it. And so I changed the exposure to F22, which gave me a 1/50th of a second.
Right.
That way it was as slow a shutter speed as I could get. And that's what allowed me to create the motion blur of me running.
Okay.
Except for when you have it in that situation, the timer doesn't work too well. So you have to get what we call a voice-activated timer.
Right.
Which is my wife.
Right.
So I put the camera on the burst mode so I can shoot a bunch of pictures in a row. Went and had her get ready, and then as soon as I started running, she pushed the shutter.
Right,
okay. And that's how we got that.
Okay.
Wow, picture really is worth 1,000 words.
Yeah, wow. You should write a book about that picture.
I'll give you a link to the ending of that story.
No, but I do like the picture. I love the colors in the background. My first take on it was I actually, again, this is just me, and don't take this, you know,
in the wrong way. Oh, spit it out, Susie.
No, I was just going to say, looking at that, I'd prefer it not to be blurred, the silhouette.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. That,
just my preference. I think it would look fantastic. It looks good now, but I think it would look better to me if those edges were sharp instead of blurred.
Okay.
Just my preference.
I took a few of those.
Do you?
I did.
So maybe you could put up when you publish this, give me one that's sharp.
Done. I actually have a blog post that I'll write about the evolution of this photo. Because I actually happen to like, when you compare them all, I like the blur a little bit, kind of gives a little motion to it. But I took a bunch with me being completely frozen.
Yeah.
So that'll be in a full blog post because, again, that's a long story. So.
And maybe you can attach the 5-minute workup that you just described there, too, to go along with it.
I'll cut it down to 5 minutes, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
It's all actually right. A lot longer than that because it was a bit of a workup. There was – the end photo just pop into my head. There were steps to this.
I do really like the colors, I have to say. I'm a big fan of graffiti in general, not performing it myself, but I do enjoy looking at graffiti art, especially when it's as colorful as what you've got on the walls behind there.
All right.
Yeah. Is it frowned upon generally in Germany?
It's frowned upon, but it is wildly popular.
Yeah.
It is I've never seen so much graffiti in my life. Even Los Angeles was like, hey, guys, tone it down.
Come yeah. On. Well, if they do a good job, again, yeah. And it's in a harmless place, this isn't on the side of someone's house. I mean, I don't
know. No, this is a newer building. Like this building that this one's on, I think they actually encourage it in this one particular area,
yeah.
This one building.
Yeah.
And it's a newer building. It's probably less than 20 years old.
Okay.
But every once in a while, you'll see like just nonsense graffiti, like just some word, like not even art. On a building that's 500 years old. And I just, that kind of rubs me.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree.
So, okay, this week's topic
is?
Conveniently, we're going to talk about how to make silhouettes.
Can we just re-listen to your workup on this picture?
Yeah, we could do that. this week's topic will be a little bit short because we already talked about it. No, let's talk a little bit about silhouettes. Is this something that you'd want to shoot again?
For me?
Yeah.
Like the same picture again?
Well, no, the same sort of style. Like, could you imagine a situation where you'd want to maybe shoot this again with your kids or?
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure there is a situation. It doesn't immediately come to me. I don't think I'm out at sunset all that often with my kids now, especially considering, how late sunset is these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost, it was probably 8:45 when I shot that picture of Rick jumping off the rock. So I don't know. And sunrise too early.
Sure.
Maybe. I don't know. Well,
sunrise isn't quite as nice.
Yeah, no, it's not.
I mean, it is nice, but for different reasons. It's because of the sun does set in the west.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not, the sun doesn't move anywhere. Copernicus. It's us doing the moving. Anyways, yeah. These are very popular pictures for people to take because the colors are so rich. Because yes. you hang this on your wall, people love it. Very popular.
Yeah.
So I actually do have one on my wall. Of this sort of style, so I can imagine doing it again. My point is that when you went to take this picture, how did you approach it? Like when you knew that there's going to be a silhouette photo, what did you look for?
I looked for nice backlighting. So I went out and I waited for it to kind of get dark enough that I didn't have to. I mean, I had no idea what I was doing, right? There was no discussion as to how to do this. I think on the last episode you mentioned look for contrast. All the silhouette pictures that I've ever seen before all happened at sunset. So that's what time I went out looking for sunset, knowing that, you know, as the sun got lower, there would be some nice colors appear because it was, if it's a clear night, which I shot my photo on, I knew that I would get some nice colors. So enough light in the background, and then enough darkness in the foreground that I would be able to work with it. But I didn't know how dark or how light at what time to shoot this picture. So I kind of went out a bit early and just started taking pictures and started looking at the LCD to kind of see what was happening and played around with the parameters. And, you know, as the sun went down, it started to be easier to create that contrast situation between my subject and the light coming in behind them.
Right.
And then I had to keep fiddling with, you know, how to frame it, because obviously if there was too much foreground, then everything just kind of gets muddled and black, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I first went out and tried this, I did it in Gary Point Park, and I had Lisa standing on tables and again trying to create separation so that I got that high contrast situation. But again, I didn't really know what I was doing, so it was tricky. It was tricky.
It can be tricky, but you look for the right conditions. That's the important part. Is you want a very bright background and a very dark foreground, essentially.
Right.
And sunset is perfect because with the sun setting behind him there, there's zero ambient light. Not zero, but relatively zero ambient light on your subject.
Yeah.
So he is automatically going to fall into black, and you can just worry about – it doesn't matter how black he gets.
Right.
So you don't even have to worry about that. All you're doing is setting the exposure for your background. Now, it's actually easier to do it in manual mode. I'm glad you did it in AV mode because it's a you know, bit more of a challenge, and it kind of goes to what we're talking about with back button focus, even though you didn't technically use it, but that's not the point. It's much easier in manual mode because you can quickly just set your exposure for the background and leave it.
Right.
And not worry about what's going on. Then you can move focus wherever you want. And, of course, you only have, you know, a small window of a few minutes before the sun sets completely.
Yeah.
And then you get a whole different effect. All of a sudden, you'll get this sort of dark blue sky. When the sun sets completely, and we won't have very much light left, but anyways, so you managed to, your instincts were correct, and you looked for the right conditions, which is what I ended up doing in the middle of the day. I would have done sunset. If you hadn't done sunset, I would have done sunset. That's the most popular one that people love. I have a sunset one on my wall right now.
Yeah.
But once you did it, I thought, okay, well, I'm going to find a different scenario to right. illustrate the point. But it's essentially the same. It's a very, very bright background and with a dark foreground.
And was that picture that you took, like that was all, that was just the natural light coming in, was that bright on that wall?
Correct.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. It's a pretty cool setup where it is. It's sort of a covered over area that I was under, like a large covered area.
Right.
And then right behind it was opened.
And it was obviously pretty bright that day.
Pretty bright. Pretty bright and sunny. As soon as I woke up, because I've been waiting all week to shoot it, I didn't know what I was going to shoot. And when I woke up yesterday, I shot this yesterday, I knew immediately, okay, that's where I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Because I knew the conditions would be perfect with the really bright background. And that's normally you wouldn't, if you weren't shooting a silhouette, you'd have a really hard time shooting here. I have shot here before. I love shooting in this little area. There's a picture on my website, on my alanetridge.com site. If you go through the pictures, like the second or third portrait in, I took a picture of a guy named Paolo, and at this exact same location, but completely different conditions.
Right.
Different time of day, different angle, and I used a flash, and you know, you can see this that, you know. But this would be a very difficult scenario to take a picture in that wasn't a silhouette.
Just because it's too light.
It's too bright in the background, too dark in the foreground. Oh, just okay. you'd never get a decent image that way. You need a lot of fill light on your subject, and no point. Just look elsewhere.
Right.
So what? Well, we talked about that. What determines the exposure? Real quick. In a silhouette picture, which parameter determines your exposure?
I'm going to say the aperture.
Okay, sorry, I asked that incorrectly.
I'm
going to go ahead and answer my poorly asked question.
Go ahead. I'm not sure what you're getting at.
The background.
Okay.
you're setting your exposure so that the background is properly exposed.
Okay.
And in this case, underexposed, probably.
Yeah.
Because there's so much light you can get away with, by underexposing your background a little bit, like you did, you get these kind of rich orange colors. If you'd exposed it normally, it would have been a little bit too bright, and you would have lost that saturation.
Right.
And those clouds wouldn't have appeared the way they do.
Correct.
So that's what determines it.
And I did think about that.
Fantastic.
The minus two-thirds under wasn't a fluke. I was thinking exactly that about the saturation of the colors when I lined it up that way.
And if you were to take your exposure reading off the background,
yeah,
and I would go so far as to even angle the camera up further so it include more of the sky in your image when you're taking the exposure reading.
Right.
So that when you take the shot, the sky will be perfectly exposed. If you don't, if you take the exposure meeting right in the middle of your image, without your subject there, I mean,
yeah,
your camera's going to read a lot of the ocean and those mountains in the background and the rocks in the foreground and tend to lighten it up a little bit.
Right.
Because as we know, our camera, you know, it does a great job, but it's not tremendously intelligent. And so it just kind of wants to make every picture look right in the middle.
Right.
So, yes. So I'm assuming you took the reading off the bulk of the sky versus the sky and the sea and the mountains.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly my thought process at that very moment, but I was basically, you know, I picked my focus dot, which was in the middle, and I aimed that in the center of the sky. So I don't know the exact angle that I was positioned at, but I wasn't shooting it. You know, I was trying to keep the camera towards the sky. Although again, right, from the evaluative metering that I've got it set up with, I imagine it's going to kind of read everything that was in the frame, not just where I had my focus point.
Nope, that's true. But if the bulk of your frame was sky, it's going to read that. So
yeah.
So that'd be my tip. So like, I mean, next time you shoot this, and I think you will shoot something like this again, is try it in manual.
Okay.
And that's what I would do is set your aperture. And at first, you know, depending on what you want, you probably want a very small aperture, something like in around an f11 or smaller.
Yeah.
Because you want to include your fantastic background. You don't want to be blowing that out of focus. So you want to get something in around there. At sunset, your ISO can be around 400 to give you a good shutter speed. And then that's the last parameter that you set will be shutter speed based on your sky. You keep shooting, shoot a couple of test shots until your sky looks good.
Right.
And then have your subject do its thing. And you don't have to change anything. Yeah. So you can do it in either mode. You can do it in AV mode, as Adam has clearly evidenced. But manual mode will make your life easier.
Okay.
So where do you focus? I know where you did focus. You focused on the background, you said.
Yeah.
How do you choose where to focus?
Good question. I'm not sure I know the answer. I think if I could have made it, like in my photo with the background that I had, I think if I was doing it again and I was setting it in manual mode, I'd probably focus on the subject just to make it as sharp as possible.
I think it's really just it's a subjective question. There's no real answer to that.
Okay. I was just thinking about that particular picture for me.
Yeah. I can make an argument for either way, but ultimately the picture looks great. So, you leave that up to the photographer. Where they want, maybe they do want to have a blown out background or like a focus, you know, and just have a really shallow depth of field and have the focus be somewhere. It's all, that's artistic at that point.
Right.
So, there's the biggest challenge, as you touched on with this, is without being able to show detail, like in people's faces or anything to do with your subject, the challenge becomes, how do you tell the story? Like, how do you get a picture that looks like something in silhouette?
Yeah, it's difficult. I try to take a number of pictures of the other couple walking and holding hands and different angles and stuff, and I found it very difficult. You had to get certain amount of separation. It's the positioning of their heads, all the little subtleties.
What do you mean by separation?
Well, if they're walking close together, you can't, it just will like look like one blob, right? Yep. Like it looks like one massive of monster of a being. And so you have to get them to separate and extend their arms and sometimes almost in slightly unnatural positions in order to create a silhouette that looks like something.
Yes, that's exactly right. So you have to be very, very aware of, well, of your background for one, because you touched on it earlier. You said like you were getting... You're trying to get them to stand on the rocks like the Karate Kid.
Yeah.
But it didn't look like anything because it didn't separate with the background.
Right.
Because once he blends into the rocks, then you lose sort of their shape.
Yeah.
So by having him jump up into the sky, that's how you do it. When I was shooting my picture, there's a certain round of them when I was walking across the frame where I was walking too close to the camera. Now, it was subtle. It was like maybe 2 feet, but I was 2 feet closer to the camera, which caused my feet to be in shadow.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My feet were in the shadow on the ground there, so it kind of looked like I was cut off at the ankles.
Right. Yeah.
And so after one or two rounds of that, I decided to walk as close to the edge of the light as I could, so that I could create that separation and further fill out the body detail so it made sense.
Yeah.
So that's something to be aware of. Yeah, you definitely have to put your subjects in positions that don't seem natural in everyday life, but yet when you see it in the final product, it couldn't look more natural.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Okay. Well, that the last thing really is, how does color come into play? Like, did you look for certain colors?
No, not particularly. I didn't. I mean, I was shooting at sunset, so I kind of was waiting for the sun to get low enough that the colors started to look nice. But
okay, so the answer is yes.
I wasn't looking for a particular shade or anything. I just wanted them to get deep. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's. I didn't mean a particular color.
Oh, okay.
Boy, I should have wrote that in the show notes.
But for sunset, I mean, again, I don't have a ton of experience shooting sunset, but in my limited experience, as the sun gets lower, usually the pictures look better.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely they do. That's the thing, is with sunset, you're guaranteed to get good colors. Or not guaranteed, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is that that's a high percentage shot of getting out there and catching that. So that's what I looked for also, not just in my shot, not just a bright background, but I knew there would be some bright, vibrant colors that would contrast with my dark shadow.
Right.
My dark silhouette. And so that was on purpose. And it sounds like you did yours on purpose by accident.
Yeah.
But it's the same kind of thing, knowing that, Rick's going to be in full shadow with no detail. That bright orange background is a great choice. Now, you can do it in black and white, and I encourage people to try it. Try a black and white silhouette. It takes on an entirely different sort of feel, and it can be a little more difficult to do because now your separation from the background is going to be based solely on contrast versus color. Because here we have, you and I both have not just the contrast of the light and dark to work with, but the colors also provide separation.
Yeah.
And help us tell the story. So,
and I think, you go. And I think just personally, I mean, for me, this my picture, and yours too, in black and white just aren't as nice.
Yours definitely. Mine probably. Yours definitely. Yours definitely looked, I don't know. You know what? I'm gonna issue not a challenge, but a suggestion to you. Take your picture, mess around with it in Aperture.
Okay.
Okay. Two things. One, create one version in black and white.
Yeah.
Where you do a really high contrast black and white, maybe with a blue filter, or I'm not sure, maybe a green filter. I'm not 100% sure of what to do.
Okay.
See what that looks like. But then try something interesting and in the color version, drag the white balance all the way to the right.
Okay.
As far right as you can go.
Yeah.
I think it's right. I hope it's right at this point.
Yeah. More yellow? Is that what you're saying?
Other way.
More blue?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you get it as far to the right as you can get it, which is whatever that is, 10,000 or something, watch what happens to your sky. I won't tell you what happens to your sky.
Okay.
It looks awesome.
I will try. So what about this week's challenge?
This week's challenge is going to be motion blur.
Okay.
So we want to have a picture that is purposely blurred, motion-wise.
Right.
Not because you couldn't hold the camera still, but some sort of emotion. You can be panning. You can have the image be blurred in the shot. It's up to you.
Okay, so do we want the background to stay in focus?
I don't know. You tell me.
Okay, maybe
you're the artist.
Maybe.
It's going to be a pretty wide open, just motion blur.
Okay, I have something in mind.
Okay, then something else. Let's do something else then. I don't want to give you an advantage again.
Yeah. Mine's going to be that awesome.
After last week's with the whole sunset thing, I said I'm doing everything now is going to be Eurocentric.
You know what's funny though is that when I took that picture, because I took it on Saturday night, and I honestly was considering not, like, I was really pleased with myself. It was a situation where I was like, I knew I had done pretty well, and I was kind of thinking, Lisa wanted to use it for a blog post, and I was kind of thinking maybe I shouldn't show him till last second, because then, you know, he's going to kind of think that I didn't do such a hot job and I did a pulled the old last minuter. And then when he sees this pop up, he's going to feel really bad about the half-assed job that he did. So I was kind of felt like I was helping you by posting that earlier, and it gave you the opportunity to have a full day to say, oh, you know, I better do a really good job here. So.
Gamesmanship.
You're welcome.
Wow. You I'm not gonna lie to you, that's kind of what happened. I had something in mind. I would have probably stopped after my first shot,
right,
that I did, my first series where I was kind of standing still, even though it didn't tell the story as best I could. But you definitely seeing your wife's blog post prior to me doing this, definitely. Because as soon as I saw your wife's blog post, I knew immediately which picture you're going to send.
Yeah,
I knew. I was like, all right, that's the one. And if you didn't, I was going to have a little talk with you. Say, no, no, that's the one.
Yeah.
But you did. And as soon as that happened, I was like, I did. I was like, okay, I better step this up. And to the point that if you look at the picture of me running with that suitcase, I'm wearing a suit and tie in that picture. Because I, before I left the house to go shoot that, I got, you know, I looked at myself in the mirror. I sized myself up. And I was in like, I was in like a t-shirt and jeans, and I knew that the silhouette wouldn't just not look right. So I put a suit on, but I'm like, I'm not going to put a tie on. Like, who's going to know, right? Yeah. And it didn't look right. And so I said, okay, that's it. I got my dress shoes out. I even, my tie wasn't even tied, Adam. I had to tie it.
Right.
So I did all of that strictly because you did such a good job.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad then that I sent it. It made you go the extra mile there.
I'm glad you did as well. I wish my tie had flown up in the shot.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is there one where that tie is whipping in the wind?
No. Unfortunately, there isn't. I wish there was. Looking back, I wish there was. But next time.
Next time, yeah.
Next time, I'll do it again. So that's it.
All right.
Where can people find your pictures?
They can find my pictures on my wife's blog, schwartzchronicles.com. I encourage people to check out an upcoming post. My wife is going to do a Wordless Wednesday that is inspired by my daughter getting her face painted at a local fair. And
End the story right there.
That's it? No teaser?
That is the teaser.
All right. Well, this Wednesday. So by the time you get around to posting this, it'll probably be Wednesday, and check out my wife's blog then. And where can we find your stuff?
I'm going to check out your wife's blog. That's where you can find me. Okay. I do check out your wife's blog, though. So, as usual, alanattridge.com or alanattridge.de. You can find us on we're at Two Hosers on the Flickr. We're twohosers.com. If you Google Two Hosers, that's what's going to come up.
Yeah, I saw that. I Googled it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, Google.
I think I'm more famous as a podcaster than I ever will be as a physiotherapist. Don't you Google me for physiotherapy, and I mean, you may find me.
Yeah?
Yeah, there is a find a physio.
We also recommend that you check out our Flickr site,
yes,
which is starting to gain a little momentum.
Is it?
Yep.
Awesome.
I even had a couple questions on there, so I took time to answer one. And what else can we find? Oh, I had something else where I could find. Oh, blog post.
Right.
That's what it is. I have a big blog post I'm going to write about this week's picture. About the evolution of my picture.
Yeah, because if we didn't get enough info from our discussion earlier.
Exactly. It's actually – I'm going to post a series of 10 photos. Yeah. Describing how this happened.
Awesome.
Uncropped too. So you'll be able to even see why I cropped the photo.
Can you just send me the audio book?
Yeah. It's a two-parter. So yeah. So there's that.
Awesome.
So despite Adam's good job of selling it, it's going to be a blockbuster.
Awesome.
I look forward to yours next week. Your photo of it better be awesome, because boy, am I going to tear you a new one. So, okay. That's it for this week. Until next week, everyone, go out there and make some better photos.